tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
I love our theme song.
Yes.
It's so good. We are flirting with disaster. Welcome in, everybody, to the AfterBuzz TV After Show for Homeland, Season 5, Episode 6, titled Parabiosis. I am Frank Majorana. You guys can find me on Twitter at Let's Go Frank M. I'm joined by my amazing panel, as always, the caffeine-addled Julian Dujeric.
Oh, yeah.
Julian, where can they find you on social media?
They can find me all across the board on all social media at Julian Dujeric. I haven't had soda in months, and so I'm like on another. I'm bouncing off these walls right now. I hope you don't hate me after this.
Yeah.
And, well, we'll see about that. We welcome back in Stephanie Garrett. Yay! We missed last week. Steph, where can the people find you on social media?
I'm at StephanieG3360 on Instagram and YouTube, and StephanieGarrett3360 on YouTube. Woo-hoo!
All right, so perfect. We're all back. We're one big happy family back together, and we've got a great episode again. I think we were talking about it just before we started, that this season has really taken the show to a new level, and every episode is so interesting and fun to watch. So I want to come back to our general thoughts in a minute, but we always like to start our show with our social media shout-outs. So you guys can send us in your comments by going on our YouTube page, commenting there, or going on Twitter and use the hashtag ABTVHomeland. Mm-hmm. And each week before we start the show, we go through your comments and we select the ones that we think enhance the value for you guys as viewers. So we had some good feedback here this week. So on Twitter, using the hashtag ABTVHomeland, we had a couple really good and new people chime in on this season. Okay. The first one I wanted to point out, we love the encouragement, so I love to highlight someone who is positive to us.
Yeah.
her name is Me Adrian One. That's at Me Adrian One. Said she was really enjoying hashtag ABTV Homeland, by the way. Great panel, in my opinion.
I agree.
So, yes, we thank you. We love you, Adrian, out there. Keep sending us in your thoughts. And she actually had something really good to say content-wise for the show. She said, isn't Quinn's wanting to die related to his continued love for Carrie to protect her? Now, she said that last week after the show, and that was something that came up during this episode, that Jonas says to Carrie, can't you see Quinn left to protect you? Doesn't that register?
Yeah.
So a very prescient prediction from Adrian. She did a great job there.
It's a good word, prescient.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, meaning foresight. She had a great. Yeah. Okay. And then one other good tweet that I wanted to point out. This is from Trotalina T at SDG1712. She said, loving the show, our show, even when I don't agree with all your opinions. Thumbs up regarding the new preview policy in case they aren't broadcast. So, this is someone who doesn't want us to talk about the scenes from next week, which is fine, and we agree with you. So what we're going to do is at the end of the show, if we're going to talk about the scenes from next week, we will give you guys a spoiler alert so that if you didn't see them when it aired live, you won't have it spoiled for next week. So that's that on the policy. So thank you for chiming in and for the encouragement out there, guys. Julian, let's go to you for the YouTube comments. What'd you see out there?
Yes, sir. So, What FC had a interesting comment, and I thought it was a valid point. We were talking last week about why did Quinn feel that he had no recourse, like he couldn't go to a hospital. And so, What FC says, in the U.S., anyone who comes within who comes in, I'm assuming, to a hospital with a gunshot wound is reported to me immediately to the police. I can't speak English. I think it's the caffeine. Like,
slow down.
Breathe.
Take a second.
Okay.
No, you're doing fine.
It is reasonable. The same would be true in Germany. Other shows have depicted spies having their own network of off-the-grid healthcare in such situations. Perhaps mm-hmm. Quinn can't even avail himself of that because he doesn't even exist for the CIA. So that's a great point.
That's true.
And, you know, it's a valid point. I actually agree now. I think, yeah, you know, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we see what happens to Quinn in this episode. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that. We see that he really doesn't have another option, and he ends up in a strange apartment building with allies and enemies, mm-hmm. you know, inside the building with him.
Right.
We'll get to that. But that's a great comment. What else did you see out there?
There was another comment echoing your Twitter comment. MC0325 says, Quinn wasn't committing suicide in the traditional sense, but because he is Black Ops and would have no recourse, governmental support, or embassy aid in Germany, instead of exposing all of the CIA, he may have felt that he should have killed himself.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a valid point. I just feel like, you know, that's a great point. I feel like Quinn, it's just that kind of thinking is out of character for Quinn, and I replied and said that. And so it just surprised me. I didn't expect that of Quinn. I thought, you know, there's always an option. There's at least in Homeland, in the world of Homeland, there's always an option. There's always a way out. And so I just thought it was out of character for him. But please continue to disagree with me or agree with me on any of the points that we make.
I love it. I love when they disagree. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it engages dialogue, and that's what we love here, where you guys are our wow, this caffeine is really, like, I can't speak English at all. You guys are like fourth hosts. We consider you guys a part of our panel. So we encourage it and we love it and we hope that you continue doing it. So.
Use that hashtag ABTVHomeland on Twitter and Instagram. If you guys follow Stephanie on Instagram, she watches that as well. And then our YouTube pages, we watch all week long. Yes. Julian's out there sending a bunch of comments out, and you both have been tweeting back to the people who tweet at us. And actually, you guys can tweet us during the show, while we're live. If you're out there watching live right now on YouTube, actually we have our phones right here, and we're checking for the hashtag every few minutes or so to see what the live feedback is for this week's episode. Mm-hmm. So let's get into the episode.
Right.
And since we were just talking about Quinn, I think it's an easy transition to talk about him. And
I
wrote down as my title of this segment, Poor Damn Quinn.
I know.
He's always hurt.
What? Yeah. I felt bad for him, though.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because he's such a strong guy and he has such a strong character. But he's kind of broken down now.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
You know? I did watch last week's episode, even though I wasn't here. I saw, you know, what happened to him and everything. And I thought, first of all, I thought his acting was spot on. Like his he's British in real life.
Rupert,
so his their training is totally different than American training. Just so you know, they have much better training over there. But it's very method. I believed him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believed he was in pain. I believed he was suffering. You know,
And
clearly in this episode he was.
Yeah.
In this episode as well. You know, the new one.
Yeah, he always has a great ability.
Rupert
Friend has a great ability to internalize his feelings and communicate so much just through his eyes when the camera's on him. I met Emily Walker, who played the apartment manager of Quinn a couple seasons ago.
Yeah.
She's a Second City performer in Chicago, and my best friend's also on the Mainstay show with her. So I actually met her and talked about working with Rupert Friend, and she's just like, he's so amazing, nice on set, but then when you're acting with him, the silent moments, the pauses are what's so powerful about working with him.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a lot of that in this episode. Julian, what did you think of his struggle as he tried to get back to health?
Oh, man. I mean, I felt it.
Yeah.
I felt it with him. Rupert is such a great actor. You're right. I know we're singing his praises, and I'm the first one to criticize when someone is not believable, when an actor's not believable, because that's just my nature. But, oh, man, he is so good.
Mm.
Rupert, come on the show, please.
I know.
Please, as if he has nothing else to do. You know?
He doesn't. I mean, we're all hardcore fans here, so he would get a lot of interesting questions from us.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt. So we'll
reach
out
to him. We would love to have him.
Mm-hmm. So, fans, you can all tweet Rupert. yes. on our behalf, and we will do the same thing and try and get his PR team to release him for
hashtag
night.
Let's get Rupert on AfterBuzz. That's kind of a long hashtag. Yeah, I feel like we only have 140 characters.
That's the Diet Coke talking. Yeah. So, just more about his struggle, though. Yeah. He has what we think initially is one ally. In the doctor who's treating him throughout the episode, and we see at the beginning Hajik Said is released from jail because of the German spying agreement, which we saw at the beginning of the season. Now he's out, and he seems to be getting right back in the thick of things.
Right.
But I like that Quinn was smart enough to say, you guys know you're probably being watched and you're planning an attack right now. So, take it.
Oh, I love that scene. And the fact that they say, oh, you're a spy. And he really kind of didn't deny it. I mean, he didn't say yes or no.
Right.
But he knew exactly what to say. You know, thought it was amazing.
Yeah, he's smarter than to just say, yes, I am an American spy.
I am an American spy.
But the truth is, he really isn't. Anymore. Used to be. I mean, yeah, he's connected in a way that ultimately we see at the end of the episode. He gets into a knife fight with Zaid because he doesn't believe that he's going to keep his mouth shut or just merrily go about his way. Mm-hmm. But what I really liked is that the rest of the organization there actually kind of supported Quinn.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that was great.
It was interesting to me that normally I would have thought they would have all been united behind killing Quinn, just so there aren't any loose ends. But then when he gets into the fight with Zaid at the end of the episode, one of the group is holding back everyone saying, nope, let him finish it. Uh-huh. If Zaid's going to start this fight, then he needs to finish it. Right. And Quinn, that was so good when he just like popped him in the throat.
Yeah.
So I really liked that scene.
Yeah,
I found that surprising that there would be an organization not totally united about the way to handle Quinn, but it speaks to how smart he is.
Right. What do you think?
I think Quinn, just a little commentary on sort of staying under the radar when he's asked directly if he's a spy.
Mm-hmm.
I think Quinn also, I agree with you, he was very smart in not saying yes or no, but also the fact that he said, you know, he mentioned that they're probably being followed is indicative of a thought process of someone who doesn't think like a civilian.
Right.
Oh, of course not.
So, did he really confirm or deny? Like, was that smart? If that was his intention to kind of get off the radar, I think that was just sort of a Quinn thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say it's his training, part of the training.
I think it's part of his training. I don't know that it was necessary. I think he was trying to be what's the word? He was trying not to obviously say yes.
Right.
But I think that in that situation, there really isn't anything you can say or not say because they already believe, or he, Zaid, already believes you are a spy.
Right.
He already believes.
And I liked how he used reverse psychology against Zaid, by the way, and that may have contributed to the team voting against executing Quinn because Zaid was the only one who wanted to do it. The rest of them, we learned through the episode, were not in support of that. But he says, unless getting arrested is the point.
Yeah.
Right.
Saying, so you don't really want to fight because Quinn says, the real fight is in Syria.
Calling him a coward.
The real jihad is in Syria, but then you'd have to fight.
Yeah.
Boom, gets punched in the face. But it planted the seed of doubt in the rest of the team to say, is this really a guy you want to follow? And we hear throughout the episode, Hajik is not an emir. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have broad-based support. And we see that when Quinn jacks him at the end of the episode, which is great. So, again, we see that Quinn is surviving. But I don't know where he goes from here. You know, Steph, where do you think, how does Quinn get out of that building or get himself back into a place
he's going to have to go to where he started? Which is with Saul.
With Saul.
Saul or Dardal or one of those, and just, let him know what's going on.
Okay.
And he has to ask the right questions, too. Like, what's going on? Why do you want Carrie dead? Blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's going to have to go into that.
But I think that would be too simple of a strategy. Especially if he already considers either Saul or Dardal to be a part of the plot, I don't think that's the way he'll approach it.
So he'll probably go to Carrie then. Because he trusts Carrie.
Well, yeah, because he was with
her. But he can't
her.
Find her anymore, right? Carrie's off the bridge. She's hiding from everyone.
Right.
We're going to talk about her in a second. But I don't know where Quinn goes to get out of this situation.
Yeah, because of course we know that we know what Carrie's doing because we're watching the episode, but right. Quinn does not. Quinn left and has not had any contact with her. So yeah, where does he go?
Right.
Where would he go?
We'll find out.
Yeah. Well, going inside to get medical attention for that gash on his arm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So I thought he was going to die. I thought he was going to die too.
I'm like, this is the end of Quinn. I'm not doing this after show next week for the rest of the season because I don't want Quinn to die. He's quickly becoming one of my favorite characters, if not my favorite. Yeah. I love Quinn. And so, yeah, I thought he was a goner.
Well, because he's so hurt and he has none of his energy, and you have this angry guy just out of prison coming after him. So I really thought when he got sliced on the arm, we all were like,
no, Quinn, no.
But he just summons the courage to fight back.
That's his training.
That's their training.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
The training, it's instinctual at this point.
Yeah, because it's wrapped up in the fabric of who he is.
Yeah.
That's just who he is.
And it's also reminding me of a throwback to season one when we saw Brody being cared for by his Muslim captors, and ultimately they did convert him. So there are shadows of that in the background for me. I don't think it'll be the exact same, obviously.
No, I don't think so.
The show's a lot more creative than that. Mm-hmm. But it did bring up memories for me of Brody's interactions with his... You know, with his old Muslims that converted him.
Because I also don't think Quinn is captured anymore. Once Zaid is dead, I think, you know, there's a different dynamic now. I think it's so different.
Mm-hmm.
Brody was a prisoner, and Quinn, I don't think, is now anymore.
Right.
Yeah, and I don't think he has that mentality as well. Quinn's a fighter.
That's
why I say I think he's going to go back to the source because he is such a fighter.
Yeah.
He's going to want to get in somebody's face and say, hey, man, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's the kind of guy that you really don't want to mess with.
Yeah.
You know, once he gets better and he gets well, you better watch out.
Which is why I say I don't understand why he chose to kill himself, why he thought that was the option.
I know, because, you know, he was such a broken guy. When you're physically broken like that, you think it's the end, but then somebody pulls you up from the bootstraps and, you know, makes you better. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll have to track what happens with Quinn, obviously, as the rest of the season goes on. But back to the beginning of the episode, we had Carrie and Saul meeting up for the first time. This episode was chock full of great scenes between
dialogue,
two people. I love the Dardal Saul scenes.
Oh, favorite.
But
excellent.
Carrie and Saul have one at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And give me your reaction to that scene, Steph.
I loved it. First of all, Saul confronting Carrie. I mean, well, Carrie, you know, trying to find Saul, I wrote down, he basically shut her down and just said, I'm sorry, I can't help you.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like shocked. Like, what do you mean? And, you know, he's still very upset with her, clearly.
Right.
But then he eventually figures out, okay, she was right.
Right.
But you mentioned that scene with him and Dardal. Who knew Dardal was so direct? Like, he's just straight up like...
I knew he was that direct.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah.
I was waiting for it.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. That was a great scene. Well, very well written, very well acted. You know, I wasn't surprised during the exchange between Saul and Carrie because, I'll say I wasn't surprised at Saul's reaction to Carrie and sort of his what he was saying to her.
Why?
Because there's a distrust there. I mean, he even said it. You drew this line, and now it's become a wall, and that is your fault.
Mm-hmm.
I trusted you, and I thought you trusted me, and now look at what you've created. So why should I?
Why should I trust you?
I'm filling in a lot of these blanks.
Mm-hmm.
He clearly didn't say all this, but I feel like that's what Saul meant by all of that. Like, why should I trust you now?
Right.
Why?
Right.
You're clearly in no position to be trusted.
Yeah,
but Carrie has great comebacks for each one. She said, "Well, your own agency is following you," which is ultimately the seed that she planted that changed this whole dynamic between the two.
Mm-hmm.
We go from the beginning of the episode where they are completely at odds with each other to the end of the episode where During is delivering the documents that Carrie requested from Saul. So Saul goes to an enemy. We saw earlier in the season During and Saul battling it out with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, that's the only person that Saul can go to. So while you say that, Carrie has the answers, and at least he's listening to the stuff that she is saying, because ultimately he becomes fairly quickly convinced that Carrie is right.
Yes, he does.
Which I was happy to see because mm-hmm. their relationship is so central to this show mm-hmm. and they have to trust each other. Mm-hmm. But it goes, you know, I think the distrust that the Russians have planted mm-hmm. amongst this organization has been such a brilliant plan mm-hmm. to now where you have so much distrust between them. And it goes, you know, all the way to Carrie and Saul.
Yeah.
But ultimately, they do come back and understand each other.
Yeah, I always thought that Saul and Carrie, obviously, they have a mentor-mentee
yes.
relationship, but I also see him as somewhat of a father figure to her.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of always felt that in a way because, you know, her own father in past seasons had bipolar and he wasn't very available or whatever
right,
and they
right.
had the problems. So mm-hmm. I always saw Saul as sort of that father figure for Carrie and somebody she can stay sort of connected to.
Yeah.
And she's still trying to reach out and stay connected in her own way. And I don't know.
Yeah.
You know.
I loved Claire Danes' eyes got so big when she said, and I felt for her.
Yeah.
I know she's not your favorite, but you have to feel for her when she looks at him and says, I risked my life coming to see you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, it was quite something to meet with Saul in that circumstance. I did feel for her. I thought it was... No, I did. I mean, I just... Look, I think Carrie has the best of intentions. She definitely... She's not an evil person. I don't think that she's an evil person. She's bad. I just... Oh, man.
She thinks for herself,
I think
right?
she thinks for herself, and yeah. she just doesn't... She's not... She doesn't really think about ramifications for other people. I don't know.
That's
I feel
true.
Like I get... Some of the endearing qualities about Carrie that for example, Quinn has and that Saul has as well, is overshadowed for me by her selfishness, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I do agree with you when she said, you know, I came all this way and I'm risking my life to give you this information to figure this out. I did feel badly for her because, you know, we know that she's trying to figure it out and she's trying to convince him of what the truth is. And Saul just wasn't having it. So I did feel badly for her in that moment.
And he rejects her coldly.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cold.
Very cold.
Well, you shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, ooh.
Well, considering all of what... Considering the rift between them and sort of who's at fault and who... Mm. You know, I think it's not a surprising reaction from Saul. I kind of expected that. I knew that eventually he'd come around just because Carrie also knows how to plant seeds.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't think it was unusual, but I am glad that ultimately,
yeah,
it worked out.
And he learns really quickly that this is actually going on.
Right.
When he tries to scan his hotel room key card, it doesn't work, and then it sort of works, and the light blinks oddly, and it's a pretty telltale sign that someone messed with his hardware in there. And he freaks out, runs out into the hallway, is going through the housekeeper's cart.
Yeah. Like, she's like, can I help
like,
you?
Who are you?
Why are you touching my stuff?
Yeah. But you never know. That could be
a
spy, an undercover woman.
Anybody could be a spy at this point.
That's true.
Anybody.
I mean, we see the master spy, Allison, just playing everyone right now.
Yeah.
But that brings me to the next topic that I want to talk about, which was Carrie and Jonas and their relationship, because something you said, Julian, was that Carrie primarily thinks for herself.
Yeah.
And Jonas puts it to her, like, I've done it your way.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to do it my way. You're going to come with me and we're going to go home and we're going to fix all this. Let's go to the authorities. But was this another example for you that she is just, again, thinking of herself and not wanting to go with him?
Well,
because we creepily see her later,
right?
Looking at the window. Oh, I miss you, Jonas. You know,
look, I don't think she lacks empathy, right? She wouldn't have gone to the apartment and creepily
ogled,
done that if she wasn't empathetic. I think, but to answer your question, I think it's indicative of sort of her never say die attitude. I don't know. I will say, you know, I'm surprised it took him this long to reach a saturation point. Mm. I think we said that I think you said last week that the week before you thought was going to be the end for their relationship.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I agreed with you. I'm surprised it took this long. It just shows that his sort of tolerance for her is is very high, and mm-hmm. and it took a long time for him to reach it. But
Even the best of men are going to be broken down by this.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot to handle. Deal with. So, yeah. Steph, when you saw her deleting the pictures of her family and Jonas,
so sad. No, Carrie, don't do that. And then now she's going to regret it. I'm just thinking, don't do it. Don't do it. Just save it. Save it. Upload it somewhere.
Do you think it's over between them?
My personal opinion, I don't.
Okay.
I see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, because ultimately he still loves her, regardless of her crazy.
And,
you know what I mean?
And
I
neither think one of them said, we aren't together.
Yeah. That's right.
That's true.
He just says he's done, but he might just be done with this portion of the situation.
Yeah,
but I also don't think, well, maybe he does. I don't know. Jonas is not really in tune with what's really going on. I don't think that he really knows the deepness of what is going on. He knows a little something about the documents, but he doesn't know about all the other stuff he knows about the drone queen and all that. But I think it's so much deeper than he realizes it. But I don't know if he really cares, because he really does love Carrie.
Him, I feel like he wants his girlfriend and his kid and his life. Like, he wants that. And he probably gives her the benefit of the doubt.
True.
Because he knows that she probably knows a lot more than he does about this. She definitely knows a lot more about he doesn't than he, you know what I'm trying to say. I'm not drinking caffeine before the after show ever again. he definitely gives her the benefit of the doubt, especially when he suggests they go to the authorities, and you can just see in Carrie's face, like, that is not a good idea. Don't do that. And he just couldn't fathom why not go to the people in charge of figuring this out without, obviously he doesn't know that is not the right thing to do. They aren't actually they aren't the right people to do that with. I ultimately just feel bad for him, because ignorance is not bliss in this case.
No, yes.
Him being ignorant of what's really going on is really, it's hurting him. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I think this might be the end for them, only because he can't know certain information, and he knows that he can't know it, but because of that, there's just more suffering, and I just don't think he can put up with it anymore. I think they're done.
It's hard to trust her when you're not completely open with your partner, right?
That's true.
You need to not have secrets between each other of this magnitude. A couple weeks ago, I was really hard on Jonas as a character. I'm sure he's not going to be mad at me, because it's fiction. But now I've come around to, like you were saying, you know, I feel bad for him. This will push any man to the limit, to be thrust into this situation, to feel like you're losing your girlfriend who's been gone for nearly a day without any contact. So I felt bad for him. He's being put in a really tough situation, and you see the hurt on his face. You know, he wants her so bad, and he's losing. He yelled a couple times. His emotions are all over the place right now, and he's really being brought down by this situation.
Well, I was going to mention, the one thing I don't like about Carrie, her character, is that she doesn't consider the ramifications of the fallout of what she does with other people. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, she does what she does, and she thinks, well, I'm just doing my job, and I'm just trying to figure this out. Well, you blew up your life, essentially. Yeah. Your kid's gone. Your man's gone. Your mentor's gone. You have no one, you know. So she needs to. She has no. I don't know what the term of it is. I don't know. What do you think? I can't think of the term.
Where I don't
you
know.
Just doesn't
I,
have
I
that
can't.
Button where you, you know, consider that.
Yeah, she's missing a chip.
I can't
think of it either. But
she's
missing
a chip.
She's missing that.
That's
right. The thing I will say about Jonas, I think he trusts that she does not have ill intentions. Mm-hmm. I think he trusts that she's trying to do the right thing. He just wants to be in a relationship in which he can be completely honest, and he can expect honesty, complete honesty from his partner.
Right.
And he feels like he can't do that, so that is a breaking point for him. I don't think he doesn't trust her. I think he just wishes that she could be, for the safety of everyone, like he wishes that she could be honest.
Yeah.
And that ultimately, even if you understand that, if I know the truth, that would put me in harm's way. Even if you understand that, you still want to know the truth. You still want to be in a relationship where you feel like, you know, I can ask you a question and you can tell me the answer without editing yourself. I think everybody wants that in a relationship.
Well, I was going to say a little bit about Jonas. I also think that he cares for her enough to where even if he's upset with her and they say they do break up officially, he's always going to want to protect her in some way.
Yeah.
Even if she calls him, you know, 6 months from now, hey, I need you, he's going to be there.
Yeah.
I just, that's just what I believe. I don't know. What do you think, audience?
I love everything you guys just said. Super smart commentary from the panel. This is why you guys tune in.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, so. Frank.
quick reminder to everybody, you can subscribe to us on YouTube and iTunes. Give us a thumbs up on YouTube and give us a positive review on iTunes. We need to do a quick check. Julian, have you downloaded Stitcher?
No.
Okay, well then we're going to come back every week and ask
him.
You're
going to ask me every week?
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
Download Stitcher.
No, nobody tell him. Nobody in the comments remind him. We're going to ask him every week if he's done it. So, so subscribe to us. You can listen to us on iTunes. If you're driving home from work and you've got and you missed the show this week, you can just auto-subscribe through iTunes and listen to us on your way home.
Yeah.
So getting back into the show now, Dar versus Saul.
Yes! I was going to say, we cannot leave this show without talking about them.
Go, take it.
Ladies first, go ahead.
Ooh, I was just like getting chills sitting there going, Dar is badass.
Yeah.
He is like the man. I mean, you know, you've seen him talk tough and strong and stern, but I've never seen him be so just hardcore. He went in on Saul. But you know, they have that kind of relationship for 30 years where they can talk to each other like that, because technically Dar is Saul's boss. Am I right? Is that right?
Yes.
He runs the joint. Am I right?
Well, he wasn't in the past, but now he does.
Yep. So the fact that he can still speak to him in that tone and not be considered insubordinate, that they just like, well, let's forget about this. We're just friends here. Two buddies talking.
Oh, but not during this episode. I totally disagree with you.
Oh.
I think he was totally being insubordinate.
That's what I mean. But I mean, as far as their friendship, that's how far they go back, that he can speak to him in such a way.
Yeah, and they talked about an incident that happened 30 years ago.
Right.
Dar still hasn't let go of, and Dar didn't deny that it still bothers him.
I thought it was interesting that he didn't do that, only because, you know, he could have clarified right away. That's not the reason. I don't know that that is the reason. I don't know that it's not. And so it's an interesting point. Maybe it's something to explore. I don't know. I don't really see Homeland going into the past too much.
Yeah.
But I thought that was really interesting. Why didn't he clarify?
Yeah.
Or maybe it just wasn't. It wasn't an important point.
They sort of brushed over it.
Yeah. And if that seems to be a significant point for Saul, significant to the degree in which he felt that he had to address it in that moment, why didn't he clarify? Why didn't Dardal clarify? I wonder.
Right.
Yeah.
And the fact that Dardal confronted Allison. I was like, oh, that's kind of harsh in the workplace.
The way he said that. You're sleeping with him.
Can't you do something?
Yeah, can't you get in touch with him?
He had a different language.
We, of course, will not repeat the F word, but
here on the show,
that's
so we avoid
said.
That explicit tag on iTunes. But that whole scene, that back and forth, was just the destruction of their relationship.
Yeah.
And I said it when Saul was stealing the files. I said, this is going to make him look really guilty.
Yeah.
And it speaks to the brilliance of the plan that the Russians have, you know, through Allison, the double agent inside of the CIA, has created all of this distrust. Saul ordering the CIA station to be debugged and searched, and then his clearance is revoked after Dardal and Saul have that conversation. And eventually he has to create a bit of deception amongst the tech guys to get the documents that Carrie needs.
Yeah.
And then he zips right out of the door.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to get caught.
I did too. I was like, oh, don't get caught.
Yeah, the way that camera panned right before he was nowhere to be found was just brilliant. It was within seconds. There was no. I think one of the workers was coming in. I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the CIA people, tech people, was coming in as Saul was leaving. The camera sort of panned down to the desk and then up to an empty chair.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, probably like 3 seconds between Saul being on camera, us. Sort of the camera sort of panning away to this person that was coming in and then panning back up to an empty chair. So it was very quick.
Really well staged scene
because
we don't know if Saul like ducked towards camera and they had a little mat on the floor so he could get out of the way really quick, or if he had time to get up and walk out of that door. And then you hear a slight door close right after that happened.
Yeah.
So you know that he walked out there. So that was a great scene. I thought they always bring you to within an inch of thinking something, and then they flip it on you, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But Saul is on the run now. He is untrusted and then picked up after he meets with During.
Mm-hmm.
I love the meeting between During and Saul.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And During just recognizes that something is different about Saul this time. And Saul literally has a minute to convince During to take the documents to carry.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize until after their conversation that I remember that Saul went and fiddled with During's coat.
Oh, I didn't remember that either.
Yeah, so as Saul is coming into the hotel, the hotel guys start to look at him, but he goes straight to the coat check, and he found During's coat and slipped the documents in there.
Right.
Yeah.
So, question, do you think During copied the files before he gave it to Carrie?
I don't think so. My personal opinion, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Right.
Okay, so then you are believing that During is ultimately the good character that we are seeing.
I think so.
I think
on
so.
Screen.
I'm starting
okay.
to believe that, yeah, because I don't think he wants to be involved like that.
See, I've always been the opposite so
That's
far. You
true.
Guys know
yeah.
that. I've always thought that he has some sort of higher involvement in this type of plot because he's bringing on a CIA former Jerome Queen, he must know that, and he's somebody who's completely on the opposite side of that type of ideology. So why all of a sudden is he Carrie's best friend and will do everything for her?
Well, because he assumed that Carrie saved his life when they were, you know, when the bomb went off.
Yeah.
So I think he feels sort of indebted to her.
Yeah, I do agree with that now. Yeah. I was saying where my motivation comes from in what I think about his thought process is that. But, I mean, now it seems like he is just taking care of Carrie, Carrie's request. But really brilliant part by Saul to, of course, outclass the agents who are following him. But I was afraid for him, too. And they ultimately pick him up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he put the cell phone in the garbage can, and so I guess he knew that they would be tracking him.
Oh, he made a phone call to...
But he didn't hang up.
But Allison called him, and he knows by picking it up that they're tracking him.
Yeah,
and Dardal's standing right next to him.
Yeah,
that's what he says. Is he there? Is he there? I know he's there. That's what he kept saying. Yeah, so...
Yeah, he knew exactly what was going to happen. He even said it. I'm expecting someone too. Saul said that. And so he knew that they were coming to pick him up, and he only had a certain amount of time to do what he needed to do, which actually he already did. He did it right before he entered the room.
But he has to convince Otto enough
to have that be
so
delivered.
So that he knows what's coming when he goes to his coat.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. So he looks at it and like, oh, this is what he's talking about.
Right. Brilliant.
He knew. Yeah.
Brilliant.
So
cool. Very good. Yeah.
And I'm glad. I hope During is on the good side. I really do. But I'm just a little bit nervous about his intentions. Though, when Carrie...
What do you think? If he is a bad guy, why? Why do you think he would be? What would be his motivation to?
Because he's talked about, you know, the foreign policy of the United States has been the biggest enemy or the biggest problem in the world for the last 15 years. He's very anti-CIA. His journalist, Laura Sutton, published damaging information about the relationship between the United States and Germany's program. So I think he is politically and ideologically opposed to everything that Kerry stood for and that Saul currently stands for.
Oh.
So I think that ultimately leads to my suspicion.
Mm. Okay.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's a good point. That actually makes me torn now because that's a really great point. I'm not sure now.
Yeah.
I convinced you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess you're right. That makes a good point.
I think if it wasn't for the fact that I feel like he wants to look after Carrie and he wants her best interests and so he ultimately wants to do what's best for her. So I think if it wasn't for that dynamic, the relationship that he has with Carrie, I would be 100% on board with you. Now I'm just torn because that's true. Like he had this ideology before meeting Carrie and I wonder now.
I mean, if he is involved, he could just be a money man. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
Like, he could just be the guy that writes the checks, and everybody else does the dirty work. And at some point, they'll trace it all back to him at some point. But I think that's just my thinking. But I still think, I kind of think he's a good guy, though, in a way.
I think maybe if he did copy it, I think it would be to cover his own back. I don't know what like what he would want to do with that. I think he's probably, if he did, he's not going to do anything with it until, he's going to wait and see before he decides to do something with
it. But don't forget, a couple episodes ago, During and Jonas and Laura were all in the same room, and Laura wanted those documents, and Jonas was not willing to chase it down or reach out to the hacker, and During looks at him and goes, "What's wrong? Help her."
Yeah.
So now he's not going to help her
get
the documents that she wanted. I think...
That's a good point.
I'm skipping a little bit ahead, because I know our final segment here is... starts with a P. So I'm skipping ahead here to what I would be thinking about the future episodes there. But I think he made a copy of the documents. It wasn't a sealed bag. It was something that could be opened from the side. And I think he maybe made a copy for Laura Sutton to take a look at.
That's a good point.
For Laura Sutton to take a look at.
I was thinking maybe something with Laura, maybe. Yeah, that's probably
I think he, after saying that, I think he did make a copy, or it's very, very likely that he made a copy, or it's even possible that he made a copy. I don't know that he would give it to Laura right away. I think he's waiting to see sort of what how this plays out, if it plays out at all.
Yeah.
I think he's a little smarter than that.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
That's interesting. Yeah. I do want to talk about Carrie's text to Otto,
which
sent you guys into orbit.
We're both like, no.
Yeah. My heart sank. I'm like, oh.
What did you say, Stephanie, when you saw it? It said, "Unknown caller."
Creepy.
I'm behind you.
I'm behind you.
Yeah. I was like, who's behind me? What do you want?
Yeah.
Well, and you said too, you would never want to get that text.
No. Who wants that? Yeah. Unless that's, you know, that's just weird.
Yeah. Ultimately, we saw, you know, who she was. You know, right. The reason why, but it's just so creepy.
And the fact that the camera was shot and she was standing in the corner looking like a ghost.
Yeah. It was weird.
It was so
just
weird.
Standing in this corner of the parking garage,
and
just
she's
like
rocking
looking
back and forth.
And then you hear the tire screeching from some random car, and she kind of ducks behind the pillar. Like, yeah, it was very, very strange, but that's indicative of her, of where she is mentally. Yeah. She's just, she does not trust anybody, and she shouldn't, because, you know, she's not in the best position right now.
Also, too, and we didn't mention this, she asked During for a plane to fly away.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Presumably to get out of this mess and just call it quits and be done, because Saul has... It was her only play. It was her Hail Mary pass to say, if I can get Saul to get me those documents, I can figure this out and I'm going to be okay. Mm-hmm. When Saul denies that, she's out of options.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So she's just got to get out of Dodge. No?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, yes, she has to get out of Dodge, but I was a little ticked off that she was so defeated. Carrie's a fighter too. You know, she's the one that gets in there and she doesn't let anybody bully her and, you know, do that to her. So the fact that she was so ready to just say, oh, forget it, I'm just done.
Yeah.
No, ma'am. No, I don't think so.
I don't think it was that easy for her.
Yeah.
I don't think it was easy, but she did contemplate it because she looked at the pictures of her daughter and blah, blah, blah. But even in the end, after all of that, she still was ready to give up. And it's like, no, fight more. Because she went through all of that just to give up. Mm-hmm. I mean, who goes through all of that? Like, I don't know. That's just me. That's just my opinion. What do I know?
Fair enough.
No.
That's okay.
Here's how I think she's someone who never gives up. I'm not surprised that that's what she did. And the difference between her and Quinn, for those of you who disagree with me, that I think Quinn shouldn't have given up, is that there were still options on the table when Quinn decided to go and, you know, off himself into the river or wherever, whatever body of water that was that we saw last season, the creek. You know, for Carrie, there wasn't an option. There seemingly wasn't an option anymore. So I understand why she would think that just getting up and leaving is the best play. But for Quinn, there were still options on the table. There was still, like, Saul hadn't this. Carrie still hadn't talked to Saul. Like, she was on her way to talk to Saul, and he doesn't know what the sort of the conclusion of that conversation was. So, you know, that's the difference for me. Quinn, in his mind, you know, gave up when there were still options on the table. Carrie, in her mind, gave up when there were no other options.
Seemingly.
Because the last option, like you said, Saul, decided not to be one.
Yeah.
Well, her, in that moment, anyway.
I don't know. I just thought Carrie is the drone queen. The drone queen never. She's never out of options.
Yeah.
Never. In my mind. That's just me, though. That's just my little mind.
She was.
Well, she was.
I know she was. Yeah, yeah, she was. It, you know, in the terms of the episode. But in my mind, she's just always the drone queen.
Can we just quickly talk about, you just mentioned drone queen. Mm-hmm. How much of a commentary do you think this is on, I know we try not to get political, but it's, right, like, it's hard to. How much of a commentary do you think that is on Obama's drone policy?
That's good.
People have been very critical of that.
I really don't think it ties into Obama's policy. Maybe in previous seasons, but not now, not with this season specifically.
Yeah.
Right.
In the past when they were talking about drones and Carrie being the drone queen, and Obama is known as, you know, being very, you know, he's authorized a lot of drone attacks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that may have been a commentary in previous seasons, but I don't think that's playing into effect this season.
Okay. So
based on the timing when it was written,
exactly,
when it was shot. Okay. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, fair enough.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's move into the final segment of our show for tonight. That is predictions.
We have lights.
And now, AfterBuzz TV predictions.
It's my favorite part.
I'm going to throw out, I love the lights. It's so great. It's so cool. So I'm going to give you guys, just going to run down real quick, you know, who we've got and what you can possibly predict on, unless you have something already. Remember, we've got Dar, we've got Saul, we've got Allison and her whole mastermind. You know, I'm holding off on my prediction, but I really want to say it right now, so I'm not going to. You know, Jonas is still in play. During, what's his role? And then Saul, what's going to happen to him? So just a few suggested topics there, though. But go ahead, Stephanie.
Well,
lead
I
us
think
off
with Allison, she's eventually going to be found out.
Yeah.
Because she's a shady lady. So. She's a shady lady.
Mm-hmm.
She's eventually going to be found out. I think Jonas may come around. That's just my personal prediction. I think Otto is still a good dude as of right now, in my opinion. And he's going to stay that way until it no longer serves him. I think Quinn is going to make a comeback, and he's going to confront the people he thinks are after him. That's my opinion.
Okay.
All solid predictions, Stephanie.
Yeah. Thank you.
So as far as Dahl and Saul, I think we're going to see a lot more contention between the two. I think it'll take a while before that is resolved. I also think Allison is probably going to get found out. It's, at this point, she's there are a lot of dots being connected, know, and there are a lot, you know, that those dots always will, I mean, they lead back to her.
They do.
As far as Jonas, I already said earlier, I think they're done. And then as far as During, I think he did, I don't know. I think he did copy those documents. I think I don't know that he's going to give. He's going to be so eager to give. What's her name? I always forget her name. This is ridiculous. I'm a journalist. I should know that.
Laura Sutton.
Laura Sutton.
Yes.
She's a journalist. Sorry, not me. I think he's not going to be so eager to give her the documents. I think he's going to see how that plays out a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. Too.
I can't imagine that he would be just like, oh, here's the documents.
Honestly, if it were me, I would copy him.
Yeah.
I would copy them, too.
I would, too.
Just as an insurance policy.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yes.
And then, did I say anything about... And Quinn. Yeah, Quinn's Quinn.
Quinn's Quinn. He's coming back.
Yeah, I think he'll come back. He'll use this time to heal himself, literally.
Yep.
And then, he'll come back.
And get back in the game.
Get back in the game.
Cool. That's right.
I think Carrie is going to go through the documents and we'll find out that Allison is the mole. I think there will be something in there, and just a wild guess would be a file on Carrie, a personnel file on Carrie that has a digital signature, was modified by Allison Carr, or has some sort of unique identifier that would identify that Allison has been tracking Carrie, her movements, her whereabouts, and was someone that was on her interest list. Because she got inside of Saul's program. So we don't know, and when Carrie threw that accusation at Saul, he wasn't having it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that may be ultimately the document that puts this over the edge for Saul and blows up Allison's you know, double agent status. Mm-hmm. That's my bold prediction for this week.
Well, I was going to say, I think Allison may be a tad jealous of Carrie. That's just a woman thing.
Okay, why?
I think because Saul cares for Carrie. Even though he's upset with her and he's angry with her, I still think he cares for her.
Okay.
As, you know, like a mentor, mentee, father, daughter kind of thing. And Allison hates Carrie.
Like a competition thing between the two. Okay, really interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's just...
You know... For me, when you say there might be some digital signature, I'm wondering why. Well, never mind. I guess because they're all looking at Carrie and looking for Carrie, and they're, like, within the CIA, they're all kind of on the same team when it comes to Carrie specifically. So I'm just gonna say, I wonder why that hasn't raised a red flag before, but Carrie exactly hasn't been. She hasn't been acting in a way that relieves suspicion. So
that's true.
But none of them have. I mean, neither has Saul. Saul is innocent, but clearly Dardal thinks he's guilty of something. So,
Well, think about it. They're all on the run now. Saul.
All of them, yeah.
Everybody's
them.
On the run now. Yep. Saul's on. Well, Saul's captured, but I think he'll get out of that. That's my other prediction. I think he'll get out of it.
And
go ahead.
We just mentioned. We were just to wrap it up. You said the title of this is called Parabiosis.
That's right. Go ahead.
I had no idea what this meant. None of us did. I Googled it, and Parabiosis is a class of techniques in which two living organisms are joined together surgically and develop single shared physiological systems, such as a shared circulatory system. So why do you think...
You guys are going to have to chime in there, out there online, what you think that means, and how that related to this episode.
How does that relate to this episode?
It kind of flabbergasted us.
Yeah,
so.
Let us know.
All I wrote down was human centipede. If anybody watched that movie, hasn't watched that movie, do not watch it.
Let's wrap it up. That does it for this week, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. He is Julian Dujeric. Where can the people find you on social media?
The people can find me at Julian Dujeric all across the board on all social media.
And she is Stephanie Garrett.
I'm Stephanie Garrett, Stephanie G3360 on Instagram and YouTube.
And I'm Frank Majorana. You guys can find me on Twitter at Let's Go Frank M. Thank you again so much for tuning in this week. We look forward to having you come back each and every week. Right here, same place, same channel. Go out, have a blessed week, and we'll see you back soon.
Later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later, Saul.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.